Australia has officially banned vapes. After several years of discussion on the significance of the controversial nicotine and vapor devices, originally designed to wean smokers off cigarettes, strict import laws have now been imposed. As of 5 days ago, the importation of nicotine e-cigarettes will be illegal without a prescription, and a hefty penalty of $222,000 for breaches will apply. So what's changed? Well, previously, while vapes were mostly illegal to buy in Australia, you could always order them from overseas, something which will now be against the law. And what are the consequences of this new tough stance on vapes? And if people can't get their vapes legally, what's to stop them from going elsewhere? Well, this morning we're joined by the founding chairman of the Australian Tobacco Harm Reduction Association, Dr. Mendelson. He's going to be talking with us about the significance of this decision from the TGA. Welcome, Dr. Mendelson.
Good morning, Tina.
Good morning. So the consensus is that vapes needed to be banned because they were actually encouraging smoking in children and young people, apparently. So do you think banning vapes is going to stop people from smoking or from consuming nicotine?
Well, actually, the sales of vapes to kids is already banned. It just isn't being enforced in Australia.
Right.
You know, we're getting container loads.
When you say kids, are we talking like kids?
Sorry.
When we're talking kids, I mean, we're talking kids of like 11 and 12, purchasing vapes. Is that correct?
Mostly older. We're mainly talking about 14 to 17-year-olds. Yeah, the rate in young kids is very small.
Right, okay. But it's sort of that age group that...
What's happened is that there are container loads of disposable vapes being imported into Australia quite illegally and being sold on the black market to kids. And that's the problem that we're seeing. The problem with that is it just isn't being enforced. It's already illegal, but no one's actually stopping it.
Right, so...
I mean, kids shouldn't vape or smoke, but you know, the fact is, they'll do whatever adults tell them not to do. But the good news is that even with those vapes, most vaping is by kids who already smoke. Regular vaping is very uncommon in kids who don't smoke. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the actual rate of vaping is much rarer than we think. The official figure is that less than 2% of kids actually do vape. Mm-hmm. So it gets a lot of coverage beyond the numbers actually involved.
So how will this decision, do you think, impact the smokers who use vapes as a way to get off cigarettes?
Look, I think it's a big problem. It's always been necessary to have a prescription, but no one's bothered. So, you know, less than 1 or 2% of vapers in Australia have had a script to allow them to import nicotine, which has been required. But the problem now is that there are huge fines, and if people are caught bringing nicotine in without a script, they are at great risk, as you said. And the problem is that it will be very hard to get a prescription for nicotine. There are over 600,000 vapers in Australia. Now, it's very popular. And there are only about 25 doctors who are publicly listed as being willing to write nicotine prescriptions. I mean, what patients say to me is that they go to their local GP and the GP says, look, I don't know anything about vaping. I don't know how to write a prescription. I don't even know if it's legal. And it's just too hard. It's just easier to go to the servo next door and buy a pack of the cigarettes. And I think that's what's going to happen. That's what we're most concerned about, that current vapers, many of them will slip back to smoking, which is a disaster.
Well, can I ask, what are the benefits of vaping?
Look, it's a way of quitting smoking for adult smokers who can't quit with other methods. So most people tell me that they've tried everything to quit. They've been through the patches and the gum, the spray was awful in their mouth, the Champix gave them nightmares, and they've just about given up. But vaping is another option, and it's unique in that it gives them nicotine that they need, but it gives them the hand-to-mouth and the habit rituals of smoking, which none of the other products do. Mm-hmm. So they use it to stop smoking and then stop vaping, or some people use it as a long-term alternative to smoking, so a substitute for the much safer one, because it only has a tiny fraction of the chemicals in the vapor compared to smoke. Mm. It's also a lot cheaper, by the way, and we know that smoking is increasingly concentrated in the populations that are disadvantaged. Yeah. So it's actually costs us about 10% of that of smoking.
Mm. In your 2017 article for The Conversation, you warned of the dangers of a vape ban pushing consumers towards an unregulated market. Can you tell us a bit more about how that works and what the risk factors are?
Yeah, look, we're not at the stage of a ban yet, although Greg Hunt tried to introduce it last year. He did try to pass rules that would prevent people from bringing in nicotine from overseas. And it can't be sold in Australia. But look, we know that prohibition doesn't work. There's nothing new about this. We know that the war on drugs hasn't worked. We know that prohibiting products like alcohol doesn't work. Mm. If there's a demand, people will find a way to get these products.
And it makes it more unsafe, doesn't it? Not having a market that's regulated or a product that's regulated. Yeah.
Exactly. If it's banned, you can't regulate it. Mm. You can't monitor the safety and the quality, and you can't determine who buys it. Kids, black market products are sold now freely to kids, and there's no tax revenue for the government, which is what they're most concerned about.
Yeah. Do you think the TGA made the right decision on this ban? Clearly not, is what I'm taking from you.
No, not at all. Australia's out of step with every other Western country. In every other country, nicotine is available as a consumer product. People just go into the vape shops. They buy it, they try it, they stop smoking in many cases. And we're seeing dramatic falls in smoking rates. So it's clearly working. And I think it just doesn't make any sense to make a much safer product that's used to stop smoking harder to get than the poisonous cigarettes, which are available on every supermarket shelf.
Do you think there's a bit of an ulterior motive here by possibly some backroom deals with tobacco companies who are trying to...
No.
No?
Look, I think that tobacco companies, they are opposed to vaping, and they have to have become involved. I mean, they make much more money out of cigarettes, so they would like to see vaping banned. But no, look, they are getting involved in the vaping market, and they are producing products because they have to. They're losing all their customers. They're switching over. There are 68 million vapers in the world now. But I think there's all sorts of issues, like the government's at risk of losing $17 billion in cigarette taxes if people switch to vaping. There are lots of moral objections. People say, well, people shouldn't be enjoying using illegal drugs, using drugs, so we can't have that. There's all sorts of political issues. It's much more politically risky for Greg Hunt to say, well, we're going to stop vaping. He needs to be seen as being tough on tobacco, and somehow this policy of opposing vaping is more vote-worthy. But from a public health point of view, it's a disaster.
Dr. Mendelsohn, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
That's my pleasure. Nice to speak to you, Tina.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Mendelsohn, founding chairman of the Australian Tobacco Harm Reduction Association, with his take on Australia's new vape laws.